something, buddy.
What I wanted to look at was how Jesus has been revealed through the Bible from the very, very beginning. I'm only going to look at one per book, because obviously if I say Genesis to you, I know I could go around this room and everybody would have a different, you could come up with a different way that Jesus is seen in that book, but I'm only going to pick one. But again, in your mind, you can go and look at all the different ways. It's incredible how the Holy Spirit has inspired men to be able to write this, and then we have the privilege and the honor to be able to read this and then again have this revealed to us. And it's all pointing to Jesus. That's the greatest thing of all. It just all points to Jesus. So I want to start in Genesis 22. I'm going to read from verses 7 through 14. And in there it says, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Father Abraham. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand, took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. So here in this passage, we see that Jesus is that ram that was caught in the thicket. We see that Jesus is, he was the sacrifice that God provided for man. God never asked for human sacrifice. Ever since the beginning in the garden, animal sacrifice all the way to the cross, where Jesus died on the cross, there were animal sacrifices that were pointing to that great sacrifice that was going to take place, that the perfect blood that had to be shed. So here we see that Jesus is revealed in this one passage, just as that ram. He was that ram that Abraham offered instead of his son. Also, in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, just to another point for this, it says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with them graciously give us all things? So again, it's through Jesus Christ that we have that opportunity to gain all things that Christ has. We have that same opportunity, but we have to accept that sacrifice that he made for us. I'd like to look at Exodus now. Go to Exodus, and I'll be looking at chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And again, I know as I start reading these stories, you guys already have it. So, the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, this month is to be for you your first month, the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man should take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals that you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of that month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and the tops of their door frames and on their houses, where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the heads, the legs, and the internal organs. Do not leave any till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it. With your cloak tucked in your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. So in Exodus, we see that Jesus is that Passover lamb. He is that Passover lamb. And again, just in that short reading, there were so many other references to Jesus in there, with the bread and all that. So, but Jesus was that Passover lamb, and that blood was to be put over the doors and on the doorposts, so that when the Lord came over, when he passed over, he was going to take the firstborn of the Egyptians. He would spare those individuals, those families were spared. And when you think about it, when I was thinking about it, you know, when Israel went into Egypt, they were only about 75 people when they went. Here they are 430 years later coming out. Maybe close to two million. There were 600,000 men. So, you know, you have the women and then you have the children. That's a lot of lambs and sheep that are being slaughtered. And the blood flow from that, I just think the blood was just flowing through Egypt. And again, God is going to save them. He's going to pass them through that blood, the blood of the lamb. And although there were probably thousands, hundreds of thousands of lambs, animals that were sacrificed that evening, God only saw one. He saw who it was pointing to. And so again, in Exodus, we see him as being the Passover lamb. I'd like to look at Leviticus, and that will be Leviticus 16, 11 through 19. So Leviticus 16, 11 through 19. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering and make atonement for himself and his household, and he is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. He is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the tablets of the covenant of the law, so that he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. Then he shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering of the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanliness and the rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sin has been. He is to do the same for the tent of the meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanliness. No one is to be in the tent of the meeting behind, in the tent of the meeting from the time Aaron goes into it to make atonement for the most holy place until he comes out. Having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel, then he shall come out to the altar that is before the Lord and make atonement for it. He shall take some of the bull's blood and some of the goat's blood and put it on the horns of the altar. He shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times to cleanse it and to consecrate it from the uncleanliness of the Israelites. So here in Leviticus, we see that Jesus is seen as our high priest. Brian did a great series on the book of Better, which was Hebrews. And we saw that in much detail of how much better Jesus was. And just as we had read here, Aaron had to go and do sacrifices for himself before he could even think about doing sacrifices for the people of Israel. But yet we know that Jesus, he did it once and for all. And he showed his supremacy of his sacrifice over the blood of animal sacrifice. And again, in Hebrews, just in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 28, it says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our needs. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens, unlike the other high priests. He does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of his people. He sacrificed for their sins once and for all. He offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weakness, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. So again, that's Jesus is our perfect high priest. He lives today. He lives today, and he intercedes for us. And so, and because of his death on that cross, we have direct access to this. We don't need to go through anybody for that. Now we'll look at the book of Numbers, and I'm going to be looking at Numbers chapter 9. I'm going to start in verse 15 and go to the end of the chapter. This is Numbers chapter 9. On the day the tabernacle, the tent of the covenant law, was set up, the cloud covering it from evening till morning. The cloud above the tabernacle looked like fire. That is how it continued to be. The cloud covered it, and at night it looked like fire. Whenever the cloud lifted from above the tent, the Israelites set out. Whenever the cloud settled, the Israelites encamped. At the Lord's command, the Israelites set out, and at his command, they encamped. As long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle, they remained in camp. When the cloud remained over the tabernacle a long time, the Israelites obeyed the Lord's order and did not set out. Sometimes the cloud was over the tabernacle only a few days. At the Lord's command, they would encamp. And then, at his command, they would set out. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning. And when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Whether by day or by night, whenever the cloud lifted, they set out. Whenever the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days, a month, or a year, the Israelites would remain in camp and did not set out. But when it lifted, they would set out. At the Lord's command, they encamped, and at the Lord's command, they set out. They obeyed the Lord's order in accordance with the command through Moses. So here, again, this ties into Exodus also, but in here we see that Jesus is seen as the cloud by day and the pillar of fire at night. Again, it kind of brought some thoughts up in class this morning when Clarence was talking. Israel, the people, the Israelites were, they were really the only people that had a physical, I would say physical or visual appearance of God. They knew where God was. They could see him. They could see his presence. And that's incredible. But for us, I mean, obviously we're even blessed greater because of the new covenant. But we come to recognize that this is pointing to Jesus, because just as for the Israelites, Jesus is the head of our church. He's our head. And just like they did, we need to follow Christ. He's the head. We need to follow him. And again, just as they said, sometimes things happen. You may have to pray about it for a day, several days, or even a year. They were in camp in Sinai for a year. You know, and that was God's will for them. That's what they needed. We need to look at that and follow Jesus and know that. And also, not only did they have that physical sense of seeing God dwelling there, but we're better off because through baptism we have the indwelling of God. He is in us. And that, again, is just so much more powerful when you think about that. The indwelling of God is inside of us. And so in Numbers, he's the cloud by day and the pillar of light at night. Deuteronomy. Looking at chapter 19. I'll be reading verses 1 through 7. When the Lord your God destroyed the nations whose land he has given you, and when you have driven them out and settled in their towns and houses, then set aside for yourself three cities in the land that the Lord your God has given you to possess. Determine the distance involved and divide into three parts of the land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance, so that a person who kills someone may flee for refuge to one of those cities. This is the rule concerning anyone who kills a person and flees there for safety. Anyone who kills a neighbor unintentionally without malice aforethought. For instance, a man may go into the forest with his neighbor to cut wood, and as he swings his axe to fell a tree, the head may fall off and hit his neighbor and kill him. That man may flee to one of these cities and save his life. Otherwise, the avenger of blood might pursue him in a rage, overtake him if the distance is too great, and kill him even though he is not deserving of death, since he did not do it to his neighbor without malice aforethought. This is why I command you to set aside for yourself three cities. So in this passage, I see Jesus as being our city of refuge here. Again, now, Jesus was killed. Jesus was slain. He did nothing wrong. He was the victim. And when we think about that, we are also very guilty. We are guilty of putting Jesus on the cross, having him go to the cross, because he went for our sin. And it's because of me, because of you, that he went to the cross. He did that. But in doing so, through his sacrifice and doing that in the cross, now we, with our sins, when we hear of Jesus and we understand what he's done for us, he opens up a city of refuge for us, so that when God's going to come on his day of judgment, we're going to be saved through Jesus' blood. We are in Christ. We're in that city of refuge. We're going to be in that. And so I see Jesus as being that city of refuge for us in Deuteronomy. We'll move on to Joshua. Be looking at Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. So Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 21. Says, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up. This is Rahab and the spies. I'm sure you know. So before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sidon and to Og, two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives, the man assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully when the Lord gives us the land. So she let them down by the rope through the window, for the house she lived on was part of the city wall. She said to them, But if you tell what we are doing, we will be released from the oath you made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she went with them away. So she sent them away, and they departed. And she tied a scarlet cord in the window. So in Joshua, I see Jesus is being revealed as that scarlet cord. Again, scarlet being red, that can symbolize back to the Passover with the lamb's blood. That scarlet cord. Again, in the Passover, they put the blood on the doorposts and then overhead. Again, she has this red scarlet cord hanging out of her window. Again, when they come to take over that land, she'll be spared because of the red scarlet cord that's hanging from her window. Again, I watched something on Netflix. It was a story about the Exodus, if it really took place or not. They were looking for archaeological evidence. And it was amazing when they went to Jericho. And you see they have computer animation of how the walls probably were. It was incredible how they were. But they show the walls now obviously down in the way they were, but there was one section where there was a room on the wall, just as the Bible explained it. And everything else was down around it. And that's what obviously the Bible scholars were saying, well, that's Rahab. Exactly, and obviously the other people said, no, that's just a flaw or something that took place. But it was incredible to actually see how that was and how the walls were. She, we see here, she says, I know that the Lord has given you this land. All the people knew that. And she says, we're melting in fear. We have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea. And then it says, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear. That, I think, what she's saying here is pointing to the future for the gospel. We have to hear the gospel. And then you have to believe it. See, she heard, she believed, and then she acted because she put her life in jeopardy when she was hiding these spies. And when the king sent for her and was asking where they went, she said they went to the fords of the river where she had actually sent them over in the hills to hide out. But she acted. And again, that's pointing to the gospel. And this is kind of concluding our lesson tonight. We're going to stop in Joshua. But again, there may be someone here tonight that has heard the gospel, that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you believe that. And maybe you just haven't had time to honestly process that in your heart and your mind. And you're ready to repent of your sin. You want to repent. You want to change. You want to turn away from what you're doing wrong. We can help you here. You can confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then we do have a baptismal right behind you here. You may have other needs. There may be some prayer requests that you may have. You may have some struggles in your life. Again, we are a God-fearing church that prays to God, brings everything to Him in prayer. If there's anything we can do for you tonight, please come forward as we stand.